Why is Fox News talking about life on Pluto? Also, is it a sign of the last days? NASA has discovered that the moon is shrinking and shaking. All this and more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. Hope you are doing well. So today I decided to split the odds. I went with a jacket and a t-shirt. Didn't really know. I didn't want to go full suit this time, but I didn't want to just do a t-shirt like last time. So I just kind of mixed the two and did something a little different. So hopefully that'll be okay. I'm sure you're not going to have any problems with it. It'd be weird if you did. So life on Pluto. Fox News has just recently put out this article saying that there's an ocean that has long thought to be frozen, but it could be hidden and it could actually be liquid. So this new study came out, and you know, I asked the question, why is Fox News talking about this? Because there have been so many stories like this reigniting the idea of the possibility of life in the solar system or in the universe just outside of Earth in general. And we've been really seeing this ramp up for the past couple of years. That question has always been there. But really, in the past couple of years, it seems to be happening more and more and more frequently, almost like birth pangs. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about what NASA's saying about the moon, which is really strange, because that kind of plays into all this too. Just all this weird stuff out in space. So Fox News is reporting on this, saying an ocean on Pluto long thought to have frozen over could actually just be hidden from view by an insulating cloud of gas. So that's what they're looking at now. So this new research suggests that there could be more oceans in the universe than previously thought, and increases the possibility of extraterrestrial life. And what's really, you know, interesting about that, when you look at some of the phrasing in the Bible about water being in the heavens and stuff like that, you know, maybe some of that's a little bit more literal than we typically give it credit for. In July of 2015, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft flew through Pluto's system and provided the first ever close-up images of the distant dwarf planet and its moons. So after analyzing these images, scientists believed a subsurface ocean had to exist underneath an ice shell that thins at a basin roughly the size of Texas, and it's called Sputnik Planitia. So the team from Japan's Hokkaido University, the Tokyo Institute of Technology, Tokushima University, Osaka University, Kobe University, and the University of California in Santa Cruz believed the ocean should have frozen over millions of years ago. So, but this land formation shown in the images contradicted what was previously thought about the surface, as the inner surface of the ice shell that faces towards the ocean should have appeared flat. But in this new study published in the journal Nature Geoscience, if you want to look that up, researchers have created computer simulations covering a timescale of 4.6 billion years when the solar system began to form to simulate two scenarios. Now, of course, again, this is coming from scientists who have more of an evolutionary atheistic worldview, so don't let the numbers throw you. You know, to accept science, you don't have to believe in the 4.6 billion years thing. That's what I'm getting at. Because there are people who will throw the whole story away just because of that one thing. You know, they'll focus on the billions of years part, and then they'll throw everything out having to do with just that one thing. And I personally don't think that's wise. I mean, for one thing, I don't know how old the universe is, really. I've been back and forth on that issue lots of times. But even if it's not 4.6 billion years old, that doesn't mean that all the science associated with just that date would be necessarily wrong, or that we'd have to throw it away. Now, it could be that these simulations you know, work either way. It's like, okay, think about when Adam and Eve were formed. When Adam and Eve were created, we presume that they were created as adults, right? They were created already in the process of development. So they weren't created as, you know, a fetus or an embryo that grew into a fully formed human. It was created as a fully formed human. Now, if you had a really smart scientist at that time, I know this is a stretch, this is a big hypothetical, but if you had a super smart scientist at that time that could study Adam and Eve, they would still be able to look at this fully formed thing and see how it could have developed. Even though Adam and Eve did not develop that way, their children did afterwards, of course, but even though they didn't develop that way, a really smart scientist would be able to see how it could have developed. So let's say that the universe is that same kind of idea. Let's say the universe was created as a fully formed universe 6,000 years ago. I don't necessarily believe that has to be true. Again, like I said, I've been on the fence on you know, the young versus old creation models for quite a while. So I have to confess my ignorance on that. But let's say that it was just created as a fully formed universe, just like Adam was created as a fully formed man, Eve was created as a fully formed woman. You could still look at the universe and see how it would have developed. You could still see how, if it would have developed this way, you know, through the Big Bang or whatever, then it would have involved billions of years, and it would have taken this long amount of time. And the science around that, maybe not the dating, but the science around it would still be accurate. Just like if you were to study Adam and Eve, you could still get biology correct. So it could be that, you know, I'm not trying to make a strong case for that or anything, but it could be that. My main point is, don't get hung up on the 4.6 billion years. You don't have to believe that to accept some of the other scientific, you know, stuff out there, for lack of better words. So the simulation still might work, even if it's a young universe. The simulation still might work. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. You either way, you still end up with a fully formed universe. All right. So the 4.6 billion years, take it for what it's worth. You don't have to accept that at all. And you can still, you know, accept the results of the, these simulations. You know, again, they might be flawed. Maybe scientists aren't perfect. But what they were trying to do here, these simulations showed that without a gas hydrate insulating layer, the subsurface sea would have frozen over hundreds of millions of years ago, as it would have taken just a million years for the ice crust to completely form over the ocean. Now, again, even if the universe was 6,000 years old, God could have created it that way. You know, he could have created it with this thing already frozen over. But what's interesting is it's not frozen over. So, or at least that's not what the results suggest. The results suggested that with the insulating layer, the ocean hardly freezes at all, and it slows down the process from 1 million to 1 billion years, surprisingly enough. So the team now believes that there has to be an insulating layer of crystalline ice-like solids formed of gas and trapped within molecular water cages beneath the surface. Now, because these gases, these gas hydrates are highly viscous and have low thermal conductivity, they could create a type of insulating effect. So the team believes the insulating layer is likely made from methane that comes from Pluto's rocky core. As Pluto's atmosphere is methane poor and nitrogen rich. So similar gas hydrate insulating layers could be maintaining other subsurface oceans in other icy moons and distant celestial bodies. So that's what the team has said. Lead author, Associate Professor Sunichi Kamada at Hokkaido University said, quote, "This could mean there are more oceans in the universe than previously thought, making the existence of extraterrestrial life more plausible," end quote. And that's where it always leads. So why is Fox News reporting on this? Because there's a big question right now, and it's very popular. And it's been ramping up over the past couple of years. Even though, by and large, it's so popular that people don't care about it anymore. It's so popular that it's been in people's heads for so long that they don't think about it anymore. But it still gets clicks. It still generates interest. So when Fox News puts out an article like this, they know, as do any other news organization, they know that if they ask the question or remind people once again that this question is in the back of their heads, could life exist out in the universe? They know that article is going to get clicks, and they know it's going to generate interest and get shares, and that's why it's popular. It's popular, yet again, it's so popular that nobody cares about it anymore. So that's where we're at. You know, it's gotten to the point now that we're so inundated with this stuff that news agencies can't just report on a scientific study or a new development or a story having anything to do with space without bringing aliens into it. Have you noticed that? You'd be hard pressed to find, at least in the mainstream media. You can probably find it in some academic journals and things like that. But at least in the mainstream media, you'd be hard pressed to find any articles that discuss scientific advancements having to do with outer space that doesn't somewhere in there question life out in the universe. And what is the deal with that? So this whole story would not have been as popular without that last question, without that last quote from from the lead author of this study saying that extraterrestrial life is more plausible now. Is it really? No. You know, I mean, it's just as plausible or implausible as it was before. I mean, the fact is, just objectively, we don't know. We have our opinions about it. We as Christians or as atheists or whatever side of the aisle you fall on there, we all have our opinions about it, but objectively we don't know. So it doesn't make it more or less plausible. And just because, for one thing, it doesn't sound like it said that this was actual liquid water. You know, it said that this insulating layer would be made from methane that comes from the core, and the atmosphere is methane poor and nitrogen rich. So they don't know that if it would even be liquid water anyway. But even if it was, that like liquid water does not have to mean life. You know, we have lots of elements on the earth that you can find in other places, and it doesn't mean life. You know, especially in rocks and things like that. So just because there's liquid water doesn't mean that there must be life. Does it improve the chances? We really don't know. Because you would have to find at least one other planet with life on it and water. And then you would have to compare that against the number of planets that have liquid water and no life. And we just don't have the information. So, but why is this so popular? Well, there's been a lot of news, and Fox News has been up on this. There's been a lot of news coming out lately about UFOs and the government admitting to things that nobody ever thought that they would admit to. And they picked the perfect time to do it because, again, they picked a time where this topic is so popular that nobody cares about it. So they picked the perfect time to do it. And like we talked about on a previous Peck report, I believe that this does have a lot to do with end times and why these stories keep coming up. And I believe that something big is going to be brewing in Israel very soon. Because you look at the frequency, I mean, it's almost like birth pangs. You look at the frequency that these stories are coming out again and again and again, faster and faster and faster, like it's building up to something. And with this UFO stuff, with any news, any worldwide news or just popularity of the question of alien life in the universe, for some reason, those moments in history coincide with major moments in Israel's history, whether for good or for bad. You know, it doesn't seem to be, it just seems to be historic events. So that leads us to wonder, could we be on the precipice of something big happening in the Middle East involving Israel, centered around Israel? And I believe so. I don't know what that'll be. I have no idea. I'd be interested to know what you think. You know, leave me a comment in the comment section below. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this channel and click the bell for notifications. Very important that you do so, especially with just the rampant censorship that's been hitting us and many other YouTube channels. Who knows how long we're going to have a YouTube channel for. So that's why you want to subscribe, keep up to date on what we're doing, and go over to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But I would like to know what you think about this, because there are a lot of stories coming out. We also got to talk about the moon, because apparently the moon is shaking and shrinking, and it has some prophecy experts wondering if this is actually a sign of the end times. This is a pretty big story, and we're definitely going to have to talk about that. But before we do, I've got to tell you about a couple of things that I just love. I am a chronic pain sufferer. I have a rare degenerative bone disease, causes me pain every day, really unbearable pain. But now that unbearable pain is bearable without the need for opioids, without the need for narcotics. I don't even take Tylenol or ibuprofen anymore. You don't need it. Coastline Kratom is absolutely amazing. So if you've never heard of Kratom, I suggest that if you can find them. YouTube has deleted a lot of them, but I've done some videos on it. You can go out, you can find if you're a member of Daily Renegade, you can find the videos I've done there. But Kratom is a great all natural alternative to narcotics. It's definitely safer than narcotics. There's a lot of wild conspiracies out there saying that Kratom is killing people. If you actually look into that, though, You'll see this term, kratom-related deaths. This means somebody could die in a car accident. This means somebody could get mugged and shot. And if the autopsy reveals kratom in their system, that person is labeled as a kratom-related death. The person could die of a heroin overdose, but if there's even a little bit of kratom in their system, that is a kratom-related death. And the DEA will use this and is using this to try to stop the consumption of kratom. And why? Probably because of the bottom dollar, because kratom is not a moneymaker for the government or pharmaceutical companies. Anyway, so there's a lot of political baggage around it. And that's why it can be kind of difficult to order. But Coastline Kratom's got you covered. When you go there, you will have to set up a Zelle Pay account, but it's worth it because it only takes a minute. You can do it right on the website. It's really easy. They make it super easy. And it's worth it because then you can buy Kratom and you can be relatively pain-free. You know, I still have a little bit of pain, you know, but it's definitely not unbearable. I've got my life back thanks to Kratom. So go to dailyrenegade.com. You'll find the banner in the right-hand sidebar. You can go there. And I know the ad right here says joshpeckdisclosure.com. You can still go there. It's the same website. So same website. It has two different URLs because we're making a switch over to a new format and everything. But so you can go to either one and make sure you do that. While you're there, if you're more of a CBD type of person, you can check out CBD Pure and CBD Pets. You know what's great about both these companies? CBD Pure, CBD Pets, you know, it's one company, two different products. And Coastline Kratom is you get a money-back guarantee, so there is no risk to you. CBD oil, some people find more pain relief with that and rather than Kratom, you know. So why not just try both? You get a money-back guarantee. So there really is no risk. What's great about CBD Pure and CBD Pets is it's totally organic. They scientifically test every batch they make through a third-party testing facility. They put the results up on their website so you can be sure that you're getting pure, organic, pesticide-free, non-GMO CBD oil. It is the healthiest on the market. You can't find anything like it. Again, dailyrenegade.com. Click on the side. You'll find the banner in the sidebar. Just click on that. It'll take you right there. And I believe there's a promo code too. So if you go to dailyrenegade.com right now, you should see a promo code either for Coastline Kratom or CBD or maybe both depending where we're at. So make sure you go do that while you are there. While you are there, you want to become a member of Daily Renegade. Why? Because it means that you will have access to full ad-free and exclusive videos you cannot find anywhere else. You'll get full episodes of Peck Report, You'll get Apollineering with Seth McVay, Christian Contrarian with Gary Wayne, and more. I think we have something like 12 shows now. We just started Women Glorifying God with my lovely, beautiful wife, Christina Peck, and her her friend, Sandy Ashley. So, the show is exactly what it sounds like, Women Glorifying God. It's a great talk show, so you'll want to check that out. And we're adding new shows, and we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. You'll get full versions of Peck Report that are not allowed on YouTube. I can't even tell you the name. I can tell you the name of Derek Gilbert's book that I interviewed him on, Bad Moon Rising, but I can't tell you what it's about because YouTube would delete this video for even mentioning the specific religion. But that full episode of Peck Underground Church, that whole interview is up there, plus much, much more. The video that I talk about Kratom on there and give you the whole lowdown on Kratom, that's up there. That one did get removed from YouTube. This happens to us quite often. That's actually why Daily Renegade got started. So Daily Renegade is censorship free. You'll get full versions of everything that we do, full versions of Peck Report, not just half the episode, but you'll get the full version. So a membership, you also have access to the members only message board, so you can communicate with other members and the hosts. And article writers and things like that. A membership to Daily Renegade is only $10 a month or $100 a year, which is the better deal because then you get 2 months for free. You just pay once. You don't have to think about it for a whole year. But either way, it works out to be less than a cup of coffee a day, and it breaks down to you having access to 3 or 4 videos, sometimes more, most times more, for every dollar of your membership. Try taking a single dollar to Amazon and see if you can rent a good movie. You're not going to find anything that's any good. So to be a member today, just click on the link in the description below. Make sure you do that. It's very important. And we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. It's basically going to be its own social media site just about. So very cool stuff. Make sure you keep up to date. Okay, everybody, we do have to talk about the prophetic implications of what's going on with the moon. The moon is shrinking. The moon is shaking. The moon is going crazy. What is happening? To find out, you got to go be a member. So just stop doing whatever you're doing right now. Knock it off. Go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. Come join the family. We would love to have you. So to everybody who's viewing this on Facebook and YouTube for free, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. Make sure you comment. Do all of the online social media things. And members, hang on the line. We're going to continue. To everybody else, thank you so much. Take care. God bless. All right, members only. Thank you so much for your membership and for sticking with us. We do got some really cool stuff in store for Daily Renegade, so it's going to be pretty cool. I'm very excited about it. So this whole question of what's going on with the moon, very strange story came out on Charisma News. Reported on this, but it's not just Charisma. It's, you know, obviously a lot of places are reporting on this, but NASA issued a press release recently saying that the Earth's moon is shrinking and it's shaking. So apparently, as the moon's core continues to cool, it's causing the shifting of tectonic plates near its surface. Measured by seismometers, it's a hard word to say, left behind from the Apollo 11, 12, 14, 15, and 16 missions. NASA's recent report indicates the seismic activity occurs most often when the lunar orbit is farthest from Earth. Now, this suggests that the Earth's gravitational pull helps maintain the moon's equilibrium. And if either the Earth or its moon were hit by large asteroids or comets or swarms of meteors and had their orbits affected by such cosmic collisions, it's possible that this lunar satellite of Earth would further shrink and shake erratically while also negatively affecting tidal effects upon the Earth's oceans. That sounds prophetic, doesn't it? You know, such cosmic disturbances might cause Earth's orbit to move closer to the sun, making human existence on this planet uncomfortable or even worse. We read about that kind of thing in the book of Revelation, don't we? Now, already, electrical grids, telecommunications, and control systems can be taken down by electromagnetic pulses or EMPs from solar storms or nefarious or nuclear actions of certain countries. And then there are the more than 19,000 asteroids already being tracked by NASA and other security groups worldwide, which orbit the sun and come close to Earth's orbit. Now, interestingly, the Bible warns of cosmic disturbances with the sun and moon and stars during the last days. Could this be a sign how all, like everything we've been talking about, you know, the UFO deception and stuff with Israel, could this be a sign showing that things are ramping up? You know, we see these signs in Matthew 24, 29 and 30, Mark 13, 24 through 27, Luke 21, 25 through 27. Jesus said that in addition to wonders in the sky, that there would be certain signs on earth too. So in Jesus's prophetic discussion with his disciples on the Mount of Olives during the final week before his death, he warned them of the temple's future destruction in Matthew 24, verse 2. And he drew their attention to familiar Old Testament predictions, specifically that the sun would temporarily be shrouded in darkness and the moon will be clouded and give the appearance of blood. The earth will shudder from massive earthquakes. Stars will strike the earth. Stars in quotes, because stars might not actually mean stars. Is it, you know, there, for one thing, one star hits earth and we're dead. End of story. You know, that's it. There's no more to be prophesied about. It would just annihilate everything. You know, our sun is a star and not a particularly big one either. So it's not exactly that, but there is a correlation between stars and angels. There's like a metaphorical kind of association with those. So it might be talking about fallen angels. If not, if it is more of a little literal thing, everything back then was called a star. So even a meteor or a comet, you know, they would have called those stars as well. So it could be that. Powers of heaven will be shaken, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. So, the Jews, when they were boys, they would have learned of these predictions in their studies of Old Testament prophets in Isaiah 13, 9 through 10, 34, 4, Ezekiel 32, 7, and Joel 2, 30 through 31. Now, quite possibly, they would have memorized key prophetic passages like these. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, Peter's sermon included a spontaneously recited passage from the prophet Joel, also predicting the same cosmic disturbances. Acts 2:20 says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord shall come." Now, Jesus explained that these events will occur after the tribulation of those days. We get that from Matthew 24:29a, and before he comes again on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, same chapter, verse 30b. Now, earlier in Matthew's version of this teaching, Jesus described the extreme persecution as being a great tribulation, such as has not happened since the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no one would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. That's Matthew 24, 21 through 22. Now, as Jesus explained the sequence of signs regarding his second coming in Matthew 24, 29 through 31, first comes the tribulation of those days, then the cosmic disturbances, followed by the sign of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So seemingly, at the same time, there's a great gathering of souls. Matthew 24, 31, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Revelation 14 gives added insights regarding the harvest of the earth in these final days at the return of Christ. Verse 6 explains that in the final days, an angel is assigned to preach an eternal gospel to everyone on earth with a loud voice. This angel pleads, quote, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Again, that's Revelation 14:7. So is it possible that the days of great and terrible tribulation of Matthew 24:21 will be shortened by this angelic assistance? Is this predicted proclamation an act of divine grace, which completes the unfinished task of the Great Commission? Matthew 24:14, Mark 16:15-18, to preach the gospel to all nations before the end shall come. Is this a fulfillment of that? It very well could be. The passage goes on to connect the judgments and wrath of God against those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. That's Revelation 14:11b. Whereas the saints of this period keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, that's verse 12b, these saints at the end of the age are sustained and able to endure, knowing that God will punish their persecutors. We get that from Revelation 13:10 and 14:9-11. Now, verses 14 through 16 concern the harvest of the earth at the command of one like a son of man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. So he who sat on the cloud thrust the sickle on the earth, and the earth was harvested. But verses 17 through 20 depict the harvesting of clusters of overripe grapes, which were thrown into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So notice that the one like the son of man harvested the first group from the earth himself, while an assigned angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vintage of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Again, that's Revelation 14:19. So these angelic assisted harvestings of Revelation 14 may remind us of the parables of wheat and weeds from Matthew 13:24-30. And are a prelude to the bowl judgments of the wrath of God, chapters 15 and 16. Now, this is the wrath of the long-awaited day of the Lord, for which the Apostle Paul declared God has not destined true believers. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been saved from the guilt of sin in the past, justification, and are being saved from the power of sin in the present, that's sanctification. But in this future day of deliverance from the wrath of God, we're saved from the very presence of sin as we are transformed into the heavenly realm and our future rewards. That is glorification. Now, interestingly enough, Stuart Hamblin wrote in his gospel song, Until Then, quote, "The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies." The chorus, end quote. And then the chorus encourages our perseverance by saying, quote, "But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home," end quote. So, with everything that's happening, it could look kind of scary. It could look times are getting dark, but let's encourage one another with these truths. And this one from James 5:8, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near." So yes, things are going to get kind of rough. Things are going to get sort of scary, but we know how the story ends. We know how everything is restored. So could the moon shrinking and shaking the way that it is, could that be a sign of the end times? It very well could be. Could be a natural process, but it's weird that we wouldn't have picked that up till now. So it very well could be. And again, look at the birth pangs. All of this stuff is happening faster and faster and faster in greater succession. So I believe that we're headed towards something pretty prophetic. Don't know what it is exactly. I wouldn't be as bold as to say that it's the return of the Lord or it's the rapture. I don't know if it would be something that big, or maybe some stuff has to get fulfilled first, maybe some other prophecies. But either way, we know that every time something like this happens, we're one step closer to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we can say amen about. All right, everybody, I would like to know what you think. Please leave me a comment on this video right on the website, dailyrenegade.com, that you are a member of. Thank you, by the way, for being a member. And I should mention, too, because we put these up as audio-only versions on Blog Talk, Talk. If you're listening to the podcast version, yes, with the podcast version, you do get the full allotted time, but you don't get any of the video. So you should go and become a member so you can actually see the video. You can see pictures when we bring pictures up. You can actually see the people who are talking. You can see my bright, beautiful, shining face. Who wouldn't want to see that? You can see whatever my next hairstyle is going to be for that week. So you got to keep up on really important stuff like that. But that's why you want to become a member. It's a lot easier to engage with something if you can actually see what you're looking at. So go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member if you're listening to this on Blog Talk. Make sure you do that or anywhere on the podcast version. And again, to all you members, thank you so much for being a member. Thank you for being a part of the family. And until next time, love you all. Take care. God bless.